Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Players Championship. I'm Eric Balkman from the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour and the FFPC. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Balkman and the FFPC on Twitter at FFPC. Before we get into the show, I want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to RotoViz by using the code RVRadio2022. That's RVRADIO2022. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of the RotoViz content and tools, and it supports the podcast channel. Now, without further ado, here's the latest edition of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to a glorious Monday night in June. I am Eric Balkman, the host of the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. I do want to remind everybody, before we get going here, I'll bring our guest out shortly. The Football Guys early bird promo is live right now. Remember, if you are drafting in that prior to July 15th, as long as you register by the end of the month, you're going to get a free $35 FFPC team credit applied to your account. We'll do that up to three times as well, so it's $105 worth of teams if you want to do that. We highly encourage that. And you can try to take your shot at a $500,000 grand prize. The 2022 FFPC Best Ball Tournament grand prize and prize pool has been doubled. $125 could turn into $200,000 for you this season. So good luck in that. The inaugural Superflex Best Ball Tournament is live. $35 to enter that, and you could win $10,000. If you want to play Dynasty, startups are going live, almost pretty much filling every day. All slow formats, 8-hour clocks. So if you want to pick up a few maidens this summer, definitely do that as well. And then, of course, plenty of slow, live, and sit-and-go best ball options all at myffpc.com. This week, my guest on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown is a champion of four FFPC Dynasty and Redraft Leagues, as well as the 2016 Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship main event overall winner. He's here to discuss his strategy for the 2022 Football Guys Players Championship. We might get into some of his best ball leagues he's already done this year as he chases a $500,000 grand prize in the Football Guys Players Championship. Please welcome into the program, Mark Salinas. Mark, welcome aboard, man.
How's it going, Bucky?
Doing great. Excited to, I mean, we're basically in, you know, drafting season. Now we're past Memorial Day. We're in the thick of it. I keep saying this over and over again. No more NFL draft. Free agents are basically behind us. It's time to rev up. It's time to get going. And I know you've drafted a few teams already, and I want to get into some of the players that you've selected in some of those, kicking things off with Josh Jacobs. He has slipped to the 505 in the Football Guys Players Championship right now. Over the last 7 days, shout out to Darren Armani, Fantasy Mojo, fantasymojo.com for that ADP. How much of a value is he there right now when you consider that the Raiders traded up to draft Zamir White? They still have Kenyon Drake there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't consider him a value. I would say he's just, you know, he's being drafted in the right place. He kind of falls into that RB dead zone that everybody keeps talking about, that fourth, fifth, sixth round area. He's being drafted around running backs like Antonio Gibson and Elijah Mitchell, around there to Ezekiel Elliott. Miles Sanders. I think he's comparable to all those running backs. He's still the running back one out here in Las Vegas. I'm here in Las Vegas, so he's still the top guy. He'll still get your production, and he also catches passes as well. So he's going to get you your production. It seems to be a value, but you can have all there's other running backs that are getting drafted that you can get that same production as well. So I wouldn't say he's a value, but he's just right at where he's getting drafted right now.
Well, you mentioned some of these other running backs here, Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson, and even J.K. Dobbins kind of going in that area, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Isn't it weird that just, I mean, what do you make of the running back dead zone? Because these guys are all players that were going sometimes round one, round two, round three, even in Ezekiel Elliott too, even last year, you know. So to me, people call this a running back dead zone. I think there's some value there that you could pick up here.
It does the running back dead zone even exist this year? I mean, yeah, exactly. It's all about expectation. You know, if you're looking for that top tier running back in that area, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're looking in that area for somebody who can just produce and be part of your roster, I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Switching things to the Miami Dolphins here, and I feel like I've talked a lot about this over the last several weeks. The backfield there, is there anyone worth his salt as far as ADP value goes right now? Are you targeting anybody there? Are you just trying to grab somebody late or just avoiding it altogether?
At their prices, they're pretty cheap right now. You can get Chase Edmonds eighth or ninth round. And that's where I start looking at him. If there's somebody better, I will probably lean toward that player. But if I needed running back, say I'd probably already have maybe, you know, two running backs in those rounds, I'd probably be looking at Chase Edmonds in the eighth or ninth round as my third running back. There you have Sony Michel, you have Raheem Mostert. Those guys are injury issues.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why, you know, Sony Michel wasn't, you know, signed. He was signed as late as he was. But, you know, they're still good running backs. Sony Michel, he was on the Rams last year, had some great games. Raheem Mostert, before his major injury, he was an RB1 on San Francisco. You can't really count out those guys, especially at their price, maybe in the 14th round or so. They're worth the shot. But as far as, deliberately drafting them, I mean, I'd take a shot if they were there.
Is that what you've been doing so far this year, as far as the Dolphins running backs, just one of them here, there, late, but
not yeah, so absolutely. So if I'm in a place like a football guys tournament team, if there's a place where I can cut them, you know, I'd draft them late and cut them if they weren't doing, you know, having the production.
Is that what you sort of do? Like if you're drafting in June or July, say in the football guys players championship, are you taking these lottery ticket guys late because they'll be easy to cut in the first preseason waiver wire? I mean, is that part of the strategy?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Lions. We heard that Deuce Staley, who's the Lions running back coach there, said that he had a conversation with DeAndre Swift, said he needs trying to explain the difference to him between being injured and being hurt, and he needs to play through some of these injuries that he sustained over the course of his career. What are the chances? And I wanted to ask you about Swift, and then I looked up his ADP, and I was actually surprised that this dude is a first-round pick right now. Currently going over the last 7 days in the Football Guys Players Championship at the 112 as running back 7. That really surprised me. So, Mark, what are the chances that he's able to live up to a 112 ADP this season?
Well, if he follows his coach, if he listens to his coach and, you know, gets through some of the, you know, sometimes, and, you know, it's called resiliency. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. people, you know, don't want to do, you know, what they're supposed to do. But you know, and that's just something about growing up. You know, these guys are still young guys, so they need to you know get out there and do their jobs. But with that said, I mean, the man is the player is really talented, and he's on a talented team now. I mean, the Lions didn't win many games last season, but there's so much talent there now. You got Swift, you got Jameson Williams who just got drafted. Amon-Ra St. Brown. There's just so much, you know, there's a lot of talent there that, you know, the offense doesn't have to lean toward him. And, you know, his talent, Swift's talent, can shine through if that machine goes. You know, he's got a great offensive line, and he catches passes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, if he's at the bottom of the first round now, he might inch his way up to the beginning of the first round. Yeah. If that talent is evident, if he, you know, he shows that he can play and catch passes, we might see him go up in that first round.
He actually, I'm just looking at the highest he's gone is the 105. So he's already, you know, some people have already valued him with, again, playing for $500,000, already valued him as a mid first round player. Maybe that creeps up even more. Let's keep talking about the Lions here. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you just mentioned him, Mark. A lot of people, myself included, are very excited about what Jameson Williams is going to bring to the table from a dynasty standpoint, primarily. You know, I'm excited about his career. Not really sure about this season, but he had the late ACL tear. Given that fact, is Amon-Ra St. Brown, a guy who's sort of been discounted in leagues because of after the Lions traded up for Jameson Williams, is Amon-Ra St. Brown the Lions receiver to own this year?
Yeah, I think so. And you hear about Jameson Williams has that torn ACL. It's going to be late when he gets to actually playing. So, you know, late September into October.
And he's missing he's missing all this time right now, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's just getting mental reps. So even when he starts, you know, getting amped up, he's going to be more of a rookie than the other rookies.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Amon-Ra's been there. He's got that rapport with the quarterback. Jared Goff is not, you know, he's not the perfect quarterback, but, you know, hopefully that whole offense takes a step up this year. They got rid of Anthony Lynn, who's, you know, more run focused. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they open it up a little more and, you know, have a little bit of a faster offense so everybody can get their reps. Swift and St. Brown and everybody on that offense.
Well, and Hockenson too. Are you pretty bullish on the Lions offense in general this year?
Yes, I am. And Goff is, that late round quarterback that you get very, very cheap as your QB2. I know there's a lot of talk about stacks. You want that high powered stack at the beginning of your draft, say, you know, a Mahomes, Kelsey. But toward the later rounds, you have your cheap stacks, say a Detroit, where you can get Goff. If you draft St. Brown early, you can get Goff as your quarterback really, really late. Another stack you can get late is probably the Houston Texans, where you can get all their players pretty late. You know, you can get Davis Mills as a quarterback and get Brevin Jordan as a tight end. Mm-hmm. It's another one of those, you know, strategies. I like to have like a secondary stack where you can get really, really cheap, especially in best ball. You can get them really, really cheap and, you know, if it's not working out, you can always cut, cut those players so you can have more roster spots.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. It works out that way for sure. But going down to New Orleans here, Michael Thomas has become a bit, it seems like every time we get a piece of news, the air of the Michael Thomas hype balloon gets a little bit more deflated every time. So I want to know how you feel about him this year. Have you drafted him anywhere? Are you off him? And if you are fading Michael Thomas, do you like Jarvis Landry or Chris Olave better as your wide receiver of choice from a football guy's, you know, a player championship standpoint, a redraft standpoint?
Yeah, New Orleans is a sneaky, sneaky offense. Sneaky, high-powered offense, I want to say. Because Jameis Winston, he's, you know, back in his Tampa days, he would hurl it. He would throw the long bombs. But to answer your question, I'm not off Michael Thomas at all. He just needs to get healthy. I guess the attitude's there in New Orleans now. He wants to be there. So if everything works out health-wise, he should work up back to a wide receiver one status.
The thing is, too, with Thomas, is like, if you think that, and if you believe that, 605 right now for him as wide receiver 30. I mean, it's stealing if you do believe Thomas is going to get back there. And I'm kind of with you on, and sorry for interrupting. I'll let you finish your thought in a second, but I'm with you on Winston. This dude pipes the ball downfield with no regard to interceptions, which we like from a fantasy standpoint for the most part. Got playmakers in Landry, Thomas, and Olave, and then Kamara, too, coming out of the backfield. And I don't know what's going to happen with that situation that's going on there right now. But the Saints offense is very intriguing if all the parts get put in the right spot and they're all humming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it all comes down to Michael Thomas's injury. If he can come back, and that's another one of those sneaky stacks. You can get Winston very, very late. Mm-hmm. You can get Olave very, very late in the 9th or 10th round. It's if they can get that offense together, I don't think – they're in the AFC South as well, which is a lot of high power offense, Tampa Bay. And, they're going to have to keep up also. So I hope they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. For sure.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We talked about Olave. Let's talk about another rookie. And I'll be honest with you. I'm still like in Kentucky has their rookie drafts going on for Dynasty right now. I'm probably in like four of them. I've already had like three other Dynasty rookie drafts done. I have gotten zero shares of Wandale Robinson so far. And I don't know. And this is, it kind of reminds me of another Giants receiver, rookie receiver I faded in rookie drafts several years ago named Odell Beckham and didn't grab him anywhere. And totally regretted it, obviously, for those baller seasons he had at the start of his career. I'm not saying Wandale Robinson is Odell Beckham, but the fact that I faded him or haven't gotten him, is that a bad thing? Let's talk about redraft, too, because he gets Brian Daboll coming in, you would think, with a better offensive mind than what they have with Joe Judge. What kind of value from a football guy's standpoint does Wandale Robinson provide for fantasy managers in his rookie year?
And you're saying Wandale Robinson is small. He's small. And he's only 5'8". Being short doesn't mean that he's not a good football player.
Right.
So, but the thing about being a small player kind of reminds me of Tariq Cohen. He was 5'6", but he was explosive and electric on the field. That's kind of what I see in Wandale Robinson. Now, Tariq Cohen, he was a gadget player and, he wasn't on the field that much. He was only in there for those gadget plays. And that's kind of what I see Wandale Robinson doing, just getting in there. I mean, the Giants are I've been saying this all night. They are a sneaky stack. The Giants have, according, I forget which article I was reading, but they have a very easy schedule. They have like the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. Daniel Jones is they're going to be the quarterback. Yeah, they still have Kenny Golladay and Sterling Sharp there. So Wandale would play that role as the gadget player. So you can't really expect him to, produce for you week in and week out. He's going to be that gadget player that might be on the fringe of your bench and fringe on the waiver wire. If you need that roster spot, you might have to cut Wandale Robinson to get somebody in there that you need.
How do you sort of assess those Giants receivers in general? Because it's kind of, Golladay was the big free agent signing. He didn't work out so well last year. Sterling Shepard's been the old standby there, who's had solid, if unspectacular, years. Kadarius Toney looked like he was going to set the world on fire for a few weeks. Then he kind of slacked off a little bit. Darius Slayton, a deep threat who's made some big plays. And then they used the second round pick on Wandale Robinson. And if this is a sneaky offense here this year, which one of those guys represents the best value?
I'm going to say Kenny Golladay. He didn't have a great season last year. If he can get it together, because he's one of those tall, he wins, at the point of the catch type receivers. He's the wide receiver one. If he can, produce at the level he's getting paid for, which, and the coaches, depending on what they get out of him, if he lives up to his potential, Kenny Golladay will get you those wide receiver one numbers.
He is going at the 11:04 in Football Guys drafts right now. That's after Michael Gallup, who's recovering from the ACL, Jameson Williams, who's recovering from the ACL as well. And then it's right ahead of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Rondale Moore, and Tyler Boyd too. So that's the area that you'd be looking at drafting Kenny Golladay. Again, I always quote Joe Delzenero, longtime FFPC player, no such thing as a bad pick after the 10th round. I'm a big believer in that. Mm-hmm. Moving over to tight ends. So Tyreek Hill goes from Kansas City to Miami. And now I feel like Kansas City's done a pretty good job collecting talent, but they haven't replaced Tyreek Hill. Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Sky Moore, all very good players. We think Sky Moore is going to be a very good player, but we don't know for sure yet. But who's the Mr. Reliable there? It's Travis Kelce. And I feel like he's always been like a really good PPR tight end in his career there. Now he's going to be the most trusted target that Patrick Mahomes has. I know he's not exactly a spring chicken anymore, but is he in for a career year this year, Mark?
Well, I don't think he's going to be in for a career year, but he'll be in for his typical year. especially in FFPC tight end premium scoring, that's first round worthy. I think he's going in the middle of the first round. So even if he doesn't have a career year, he's worth that first round pick. Now, you're right, because they have collected that talent, and that talent is, it's not just a bag of donuts. MVS. MVS, MVS, sorry, I can't say his real name, but he was that downfield threat in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, ran those same routes. We can't say that he's going to catch them all, just like Tyreek did, but he'll catch some of them, and we will, hopefully that, it'll see a bump up in stats. He'll see a bump up in stats there. Juju Smith-Schuster, he's still pretty talented, even though he's on TikTok a lot. He's spending all the time on TikTok. He's still, even if he mans the slot, he'll still get his looks, and he's got some good hands, and he will, he'll catch some balls. So Travis Kelce might not have a career year, but he'll have his typical year, which should be enough for FFPC drafters.
Are you targeting any of those other Chiefs receivers that we just talked about in drafts, or just kind of grabbing them if they slip?
Yeah, this is going to be one of the is going to come up later in the show.
Let's save it. Let's save it. All right, because I definitely want to get into that for sure. Bryce Masters, longtime FFPC commissioner. He and I worked together in real life, or at our day jobs as well. And I made a bet with him. This was before the NFL draft. This is probably a month before the NFL draft. I'm kind of regretting it. I don't think I gave him odds, but I'm kind of regretting it because to me, it's very, very close. And I thought I'd ask you this. Who has the better year this year, FFPC scoring? Is it Kyle Pitts in his second year in Atlanta with Marcus Mariota and perhaps Desmond Ridder at some point throwing to him with, you know, Drake London, his main competition? Or is it Darren Waller, guy who's already been in the Pro Bowl, done, you know, had some of the most successful tight end seasons in recent memory. He gets a really good quarterback in Derek Carr, but he also has to fend off targets from Hunter Renfrow and now Devontae Adams as well. Who has the better year, Mark? Who's higher on your board?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I live here in Las Vegas, so I hear a lot of the Raiders news. You don't really hear a lot. You're right. The Raiders have so much talent in there right now. Devontae Adams is going to soak up a lot of targets, like you said. Renfrow is there. Like we were talking earlier, Josh Jacobs catches passes as well. So, I mean, you can say that about every team in the AFC West as well. You've been hearing that a lot too. Draft players from the AFC West, draft players from the AFC West. What they forget, though, is, you know, some of those defenses in the AFC West are also pretty good. I mean, the Chargers put a lot of money into their defense. They signed Khalil Mack. That was a tough one for me because I mean, Kyle Pitts is going to be the focal point of that offense. So, you know,
it's kind
I guess
of like,
you would say Kyle Pitts.
The thing that is interesting about Pitts, and this is why I'm hoping, and quite frankly, I don't think they're going to turn the keys over to Ridder soon, but you always see these rookie, well, not always, but you see a lot of rookie quarterbacks glom on, like they lock onto that one receiver, that one trusted receiver. And I feel like that could be Pitts. And I feel like Atlanta's going to get blown out in a lot of games this year. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of garbage time. And when the actual real bullets start flying in the game, facing pressure, I feel like Ridder is the type of guy who'd be constantly dumping it to Pitts. The problem with Mariota is, number one, he probably isn't as affected by pressure because he's seen it before at an NFL level. Number two, he's a really good runner. So when he gets under pressure, he can just roll out and then run, which Carr, I don't think, will do that. He'll do it from time to time. But when you have three guys that know how to get open in Waller, Renfrow, and Adams, you can spray the ball all over and really collect a lot of first downs and touchdowns. Sticking with tight end, and I hope you're right because I have the Pitt side of that argument. How does your strategy work in football guys drafts with tight ends? Let's talk about specifically this year because I know the top of the tight end market changes every year, but specifically this year. When you go into a football guy's draft, are you saying, I got to make sure, you know, I'll let the draft come to me, but I really want to make sure I get a top three tight end, a top five tight end? Or are you just kind of like, if that happens, great, but I'm not, you know, focusing on it. How do you treat tight ends in a tight end premium scoring league?
Well, like you said, if they're there, I'll take them. Like Kelsey in the middle of the first round. If he's there, I'm going to take him. You know, it's just, you know, this year I've kind of taken the stance. It's just, it's the kiss method. It's the keep it simple, stupid method. You know, pick the guy who scores the more points, who scores the points. That's who I'm going to, you know, that's who you're going to go. If it is a tight end, you know, I'm going to take him. Cause I mean, the tight ends they're kind of sliding down. You can get George Kittle in the fifth round now in tight end premium. So, you know, if they're there, I will take them. I still do consider George Kittle an elite tight end. He's just hurt a lot. If I can get Kittle in that fifth round, I will take him.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, obviously, because then if he does get hurt, I mean, it's a fifth round pick. It's not like it's a second round pick, you know, and he has some really big games too. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens if Trey Lance ends up starting a lot of games for San Francisco, how he sort of treats George Kittle in that offense. That's something, if you get that right, you know, whether to fade Kittle or to target Kittle, if you get that right, it's going to make a huge difference. All right, final question here for you, Mark. One player you're really excited about adding to your drafts this year, adding to your teams, and then another player that you're not going to have on any squads or do your best to not have on any squads.
I'll take a different approach on this one, Balky. I don't want the 101. I don't want that first pick in any draft. it seems to be consensus, Jonathan Taylor. I've fallen in this trap before. Everybody has, with Christian McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. He had that big, huge season, I believe, in 2019. He's still going up there pretty early.
102.
Jonathan Taylor.
Usually it's mm-hmm. I would say in most drafts, it's usually Taylor, then McCaffrey. Sometimes Cooper Kupp gets in there. Mm-hmm. I've seen Travis Kelce go number one overall. But normally, and I shouldn't say that too. Now we're getting all the variations. But I've seen Justin mm-hmm. Jefferson go ahead of Cooper Kupp at the 103. I don't think I've seen Jefferson at the 102, but by and large, with most of the drafts I've seen, usually mm-hmm. Taylor, then McCaffrey this year.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I would do. It would be a huge decision. So I don't want that 101. I would have to take Jonathan Taylor, but I would not like it at that 101. So,
Do you have a sweet spot in drafts, like a draft pick that you really like, a draft slot you really like, I should say, in the first round?
So far, it's in that middle third. Okay. Not 1 through 4, not 9 through 12, but that 5, 6, 7, 8. I find myself drafting. Yeah, I enjoy. I'm finding a lot more players that I like in that area, in both in FFPC and KFFSC with the third round reversal.
Sure.
I find players falling to me, that I like, and yeah, I think it's that middle of the draft I prefer this season.
Who was the chief you were going to allude to before, as far as which one you like this year, if any?
It's going to be Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I kind of see him, and I could be completely wrong about this. I kind of do see him as the replacement for Tyreek Hill. I just see him catching those downfield passes, those deep routes. I just see him catching all of those. And he's going to end up with the 10 touchdowns and 1,000 plus yards this season. And that's going to be quite the bargain with his 11th round ADP right now.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is while we were talking about this, I just look out because to me, I live in the shadows of Lambeau Field here in Northeast Wisconsin. And he was always the type of guy that was like a deep threat, a guy who really, I don't want to say struggled to learn the route tree, but it took him longer than I think maybe the Packers even expected. And by the time he was sort of running most of the route tree, it was a contract year and the Chiefs gave him a Brinks truck and he left. Mm-hmm. And I don't fault him for that. I would have done the same thing. I thought that his ADP would be lower in the Football Guys Players Championship, where you have to manage your teams rather than the best ball tournament from the FFPC, where it's like you're just looking for spike weeks at that point. His ADP in the FPC, 11-12 over the last 7 days. Over the last 2 weeks in the FFPC best ball tournament, the 11-12, he has the same ADP in both tournaments, which is weird to me because I just view him as a total best ball guy. Unless I have injuries or unless I have bye week issues or something like that, I don't know how much I can trust Marquez Valdez-Scantling. But if you believe that he might fulfill that Tyreek Hill role, not all the way, but at least better right. than a lot of people are thinking, mm-hmm. he could be an every week flex.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, absolutely. At the flex spot, I mean, there's two flexes usually in the main event and Football Guys.
Right.
He'll, at that price, if he can catch a bomb or two, he'll be your starter every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Guy who's a starter on my podcast list, podcast guest list every week, Mark Salinas. Thank you so much for popping aboard the road of his high stakes load. I appreciate it. Am I going to see you in Louisville this year at the KFFSC?
Yes, sir.
All right. Killer. You will be looking for your second ever main event title. I will be hoping for my third ever second place finish in a league. So that will be very exciting as we try to compete and do that. I wish you nothing but the best of luck in Kentucky. Wish you nothing but the best of luck in the FFPC this year. Thanks for hopping aboard, dude.
All right. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
That was Mark Salinas, the 2016 Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship overall winner, also a winner of 4 FFPC redraft and dynasty leagues as well. Want to remind you, as we bid you adieu for this Monday night, remember to take advantage of that Football Guys Players Championship early bird promotion. If you register by the end of the month and you draft by July 15th, You not only have a shot for $500,000, but you will get a free $35 FFPC team credit. You can do that up to three times as well. The 2022 FFPC Best Ball Tournament that Mark and I were just talking about, that's live. The grand prize went from $100,000 to $200,000. The prize pool also got doubled as well. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. $125 could win you $200,000. It's a nice little chunk of change. The inaugural Superflex Best Ball Tournament is out there as well. If you prefer Superflex, $35 for an entry fee there, and you can win $10,000. Of course, Dynasty Startup still available. We're going to do those at least through June, probably through July and August, I would imagine, as well. 8-hour clocks on those if you want to pick up a couple more Dynasty Leagues. And, of course, plenty slow, live, and sit-and-go best ball options at myffpc.com as well. Want to remind everybody, programming note, a lot of podcasts coming on this week. So Thursday afternoon at 5, 4 Central, we'll be talking with Bob Hoog, a guy who has won four different FFPC leagues. He will join the High Stakes Lowdown on this channel, on Twitter and Facebook, as well as we're broadcasting there. He will join that Thursday afternoon. Then Thursday night, we're doing a special Thursday night edition of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Of course, four-time FFPC main event and Football Guys Players Championship League winner Shane Wingard will not only join Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship Commissioner Farrell Elliott and myself, we will also talk about Shane being in his first ever Pros versus Joes competition this year as well. That is going to be very exciting. So we will be back 5-4 Central on Thursday with Bob Hoog, and then the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour on Thursday as well at 10-9 Central. Thanks so much for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, everybody. We will talk with you on Thursday. Thank you for listening to the High Stakes Lowdown, a RotoViz podcast brought to you by the Fantasy Football Championship. And thanks to Grapes for our theme. Please review the podcast on iTunes under the RotoViz radio feed. It helps us find new listeners. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you think, and follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the show by subscribing to RotoViz at a 10% discount through the NFL podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.